Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Now it's that time for us to turn our attentions to Tata Tuesdays. Wait. Oh, sorry about that, eh? Sorry about that. I said the wrong thing.
Hello, Trinidad and Tobago.
I said the wrong thing. Yeah. Not Tata, it's tasty.
The Chef Spencer, the man trying to spoil a good thing, you know? So it's Tasty Tuesdays. For all who know joining in, welcome to Tasty Tuesdays with Chef Sean Spencer and Davey Murray.
Yeah, nah, you could song any more boring than that, but I'll put some music next time.
Now you don't need to put anything. They got the drift.
Come on, with your big man voice and tell yourself, you know what I mean? Yeah, I Barry White.
Oh my God.
Barry White, fifth cousin. Not even.
How was your weekend, Davey?
I had a fantabulous weekend, man.
Anything you did anything different this weekend or
this weekend? Wow. I did another episode. I filmed another episode of Bling My Wedding
awesome.
For season 3. So we on the ball with that.
Okay.
And so while I was there, I met some very interesting characters and at the wedding, you know. And yeah, the place was done up.
You saw any new foods that that people really coming up with now?
Somebody come with different? That curry egg thing and hit me that day and I said, curry egg? Who the hell is curry egg? And then I realized the curry egg, they boil it and the curry egg.
Yeah, you boil it and curry. My mom used to cook that. Curry egg.
Yeah, grow up hard.
But you keep, what mean saying grow up hard? Remember we talked about this a couple of months ago. We talked about curry egg and curry sardine and all these things and strange things that people never used to eat. Not because you never eat these things doesn't mean that half a Trinidad is not eating these things.
You sound like a fellow curry corned beef too, and?
Well, I had curry corn before.
I know that.
You could put curry in anything. Don't discriminate. So you don't have a good chef to try something. And you don't have to be a good chef to curry corned beef.
And curry baked beans and then you curry
baked beans has its own flavor. So
you're currying the baked beans
No, baked beans.
All right, you're not
beans,
a creative chef as I thought you were.
It has its own flavor.
You're not a creative chef as I thought you.
Yeah, all right. So we win some, we lost some, right?
Well, want to say good afternoon to this splendiferous woman in front of me here.
Good afternoon.
You know, she's on. Get out.
Wow, you see, you hear that voice?
I say it again.
Beautiful voice. Could you repeat, honey?
Good afternoon, Trinidad
and
Tobago.
Hey, hold on. First and foremost, when you come on this show, you say good afternoon to me first. Trinidad, I can wait.
Good afternoon, Davey.
Oh, God, boy. Diamond, you're
ready. So why she can't tell Trinidad just now? She tell Trinidad and Tobago good afternoon. Okay? My audience come before you.
I don't know how you're... I know you're good to... I'll buy the cage for you. You had a billet. I'll buy a cage for you. I will paint it blue for you. You can put all your business in and mind that.
Hi, honey.
And let Michelle and I engage.
Hi, sure.
Could Davey stick a pin and let's have our conversation.
Sure.
All right, there you go.
We can't continue that conversation without the baptism. We can't continue that conversation without the baptism.
No, we can't.
All right, let me baptize the girl one time, get it over with, you understand?
So
I am voting that she is a real trini and that she never did that.
Uh-huh.
Right. And she's on my side.
Look who talking who never really try certain things.
She never do it neither.
She don't
look like that kind of person. Like drop hat.
All right. So
ask the question.
All right, here we are going on. So we ask every guest that comes on the show. Mm-hmm. One simple question. I'll start off by this. What is comfort food to you? And what does comfort food means to you?
Mm-hmm. Okay, comfort food brings back a lot of memories from childhood every time I have it. Yeah. And it provides us, you feel this warmth in your stomach, like a warm hug when you eat it. That's the best way I can describe it.
Dan.
Oh, yeah, what you just said?
But that is the best explanation we got for comfort food.
Just now. Say it again. Comfort food feels like a what?
Feels like what?
A warm hug in your stomach.
So, all right. I love what you just said, right? Comfort food means like a warm hug in your stomach.
Uh-huh.
So here's the question. Here's the million-dollar question, right?
Get ready to skin up your face, because it's very disgusting.
Have you ever had, or would you consider, so warm in your stomach, so which means it's something that you really like and you go for. Have you ever woken up in the night and feel for condensed milk and bread?
Not since I was 5.
Oh, wait, just now. So you had it already?
Yes, of course.
Oh, my
God. You didn't grow up eating that, Davey?
Who does?
And there I rest my case, Trinidad and Tobago. I am working with someone who never had condensed milk and bread. So starting from a blank canvas and trying to take legacies of food. So this is my challenge. So you have my dear challenge now to convince him and some people who never had condensed milk and bread. Simple. We start off very simple. Right? So because not everyone wakes up with French baguettes.
Yeah.
So some of us do have condensed milk and bread and curry corned beef.
I never wake up with French baguettes, but who eating bread and condensed? Not me. I still against it.
I can do you one better than that. The best way I actually had it was by accident. I had burnt the toast, so the toast was black.
Oh my.
And then put the condensed milk on, and you forget about the toast, the char. It was really good.
Wait,
you get an extra crunch there too.
How does a chef burn toast?
At five?
Oh, you were 5 years old? And you did that at 5 years old?
Yes, remember I told you, I haven't felt for that since five. I haven't eaten that since then.
So let me ask you a question. That was a one-off? You ate it?
No.
So at 5 years, when you turned six, you done with that?
Well, probably. I mean, we're not going to nitpick on the timeline, but early childhood.
Good one. Sick up in. That's your new phrase for today, right? So we're not going to... I'm following up from my chef, Chef Michelle. We're not going to... How did you say it?
Nitpick on the timeline.
Yeah, you go.
I got to use that word for you, that phrase a lot afternoon. We're not going to nitpick on certain things.
Come down from the bread.
So, Michelle, what is your comfort food?
All right. It evolved over the years.
Uh-huh.
But one thing that will always be is a really good just lentil peas, stewed chicken and rice with avocado.
Oh, good. Mm. All that?
Yes.
So wait, now you're telling me that a whole meal?
That whole Thursday morning lunch, boy. A whole Thursday lunch day, she called
it. So what do you mean by food? You mean one thing?
No. It's your food.
What is
your food that you're feeling for that makes you feel really comfortable?
Yes. So
like you're homey.
It's a tie between that and this thing. I think Davey mightn't go for it again either.
We're not studying Davey. Let's stick a pin. Davey is not Trinidad and Tobago, okay?
But Michelle, you can study me, you know? Go ahead.
Boiled macaroni mixed with a little bit of mayo and a little bit of ketchup. And if you want to be fancy, you grate a little bit of cheddar cheese on it. That was something when I was growing up, I spent a lot of time with an aunt who had a lot of children in the house. So it fed many people.
Yeah.
And she would give us that while she was preparing lunch kind of thing to keep us quiet, you know.
And you make a macaroni pie and you grab a couple macaronis from it, especially if you don't have that.
The boiled macaroni, the mayo. And this mayo wasn't stored in the fridge. This is mayo that was stored in the cupboard. It tastes different.
I don't think you were brought up. But your mother ever make cake home and you had to lick the bowl? You had to think about that?
Cat got Davy's tongue, boy.
I'm trying to remember.
This is why every week me and you just had to go through this.
You mentioned something new. You talk about licking the bowl. So
you had to lick the bag. You're a kid. You get the spoon and your finger go in the bowl and the bowl and the spoon. You ever make a cake, let me say, because you're from the older generation, so I think you're
real looking for company, but
from the older
real
generation.
What company,
so in your days, I don't think it had you know them machine and them, you know, whisk and, you know, the electric whisk and stuff.
Good afternoon, welcome.
The food chef is talking about is what I would has been licorice, hungry, good food. Those are the days of yonder when that is what we eat most times. So, as the lady says, to get away from the worries.
All right. Thanks very much, Wind Chimes, for sharing your thoughts. That's what our good friend Wind Chime. Whenever Wind Chime call, we'll be hearing the Wind Chimes in the back. So Michelle is a Trini born and raised, and she started off her tertiary education journey in Spain. Is that Port of Spain?
No.
I don't know.
Madrid, Spain.
Madrid. So you come from Madrid.
Studied there for a while, about 4 years.
You bring back anything?
Yeah, including the best team on earth, football team on earth, SCAF, Real Madrid.
Hey.
I know I'm going to get a lot of haters for that.
Yeah,
but
best we even continue our conversation.
Yeah, let me shut that dog.
Yes, that's me even convincing that. But I just want people to know that you have your bachelor's now. That's all. You understand? You have your bachelor's. You see that talk where she did with real football? No. That and Trinidad Tobago football team are wrong the same, man.
Excuse me?
Yeah, them are wrong the same.
Who won Champions League last year?
Ah, that was a mistake.
Oh, really?
That referee thief. You know that.
We could circle back after.
Yeah, we will. Trust me. Because, you know, right now you done raise just my anxiousness. I feel like I could eat a bread and condensed milk just to get rid of that talk.
You see, look. You have the road to convincing him.
Anyway, she then switched gears and focused on the culinary arts, trained in France. You trained in France?
Yes, I did.
Perhaps.
Thanks to my mother. All of this thanks to my mother.
What about the bread you were supposed to bring, we think, for the boy?
We'll check.
Because I don't understand. But anyway, you spent a couple of years in the UK as well, and you are a qualified chef in Trinidad and Tobago. So then, what does the world of chef means to you, Michelle?
It means being able to prepare good food. That was always my main ambition. My ambition was never to run anybody else's restaurant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My ambition was never to be the head chef of a restaurant. I wanted to learn to make good food with anything. The ingredients come in front of me and I can put it together because I'm quite mathematical as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I approach it like math. If you know the theory, you can get any problem and apply that theory to it and get your solution. So same, you know the technique, any ingredients put in front of you, whether you experienced it before or not, you should be able to come up with a tasty product based on your knowledge, your techniques, you know, and your experience.
All right, so you planted your roots here eventually with consulting and focusing on family. And you talk about the mathematics behind food. But you'll get that challenge before you leave.
Hmm.
Yeah. You go and get baptized proper, you know. So the last chef that came in here had a challenge so far.
Yeah, Chef Bounce, we're supposed to call him and find out why, his challenge. Just to reiterate, could you remember what was the ingredients he had?
He had pomerac.
Lord Jesus.
Which I was very annoyed about because I wanted the pomsite seed. But he had pomerac. He had Kareli.
Uh-huh.
What was the next two? It was four.
And I keep telling you, don't...
It was four.
Four items they give him.
I gave him garlic at all?
Nah,
I
didn't give
him garlic. I had the garlic in my mind. She would get it. But it was four items, and he was supposed to make a meal for us. Yeah, he's very disgusting. I don't like him again, because he never bring nothing. So
I'm not surprised.
You can't say that as yet, okay? Because
we have given challenges here, and they have risen to the occasion. Eh?
Okay.
Yeah, because you see how we just talk? Me and Chef. Chef has been more polite. He'd be like, oh God, Davey, it didn't taste good at all. I'd be like, Chef, it's not tasting good. I would just come and talk. Chef, but he didn't want to say. So, Michelle, I mean, as we continue with our discussion here this afternoon, it's going to be one of those conversations where we talk about vegetarians. We down the vegan road. We talking eggplant.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it called bygone? You know, what are some of the benefits based on your expertise as a chef you have with eating an eggplant?
It can help to lower your cholesterol levels.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big antioxidant as well. So that's good for people with diabetes as well, in particular.
Yeah.
It's rich in fiber, so it helps the glucose to be processed a little slower as well.
So what are some of the ways we can cook this eggplant?
All right, where to start? Our most famous one here,
uh-huh,
famous cooking method is roasting it, right? To make...
Bygone.
Yes, to make bygone choker.
Yeah.
Right. So that is my preferred way because, to be quite honest, I don't like eggplant at all. I grew up being forced to eat it. You know, they throw it in stew and curry.
Yeah.
And you eat that. But when you roast it, it becomes a different animal almost. You get that nice smoky flavor. You get a creaminess to the texture as well. And then I've seen in other parts of the world, like in Middle Eastern food, they've got baba ganoush, which is kind of similar to our bygone choker. They just use different spices and different herbs in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my most preferred way of cooking it, that roasted. What about you, Sean?
Yeah. I personally don't really like to work with bygone, but at the same time, you have to work with it sometime. Bygone to me is like a blank canvas, versus something like pumpkin. It doesn't really has a strong flavor. And whatever flavor you add to it, it picks up that.
Yeah.
So if you put garlic in it, it picks up that garlic flavor. If you put curry in it, it picks up that strong curry flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things. And as you said, it has a lot of fiber in it, so it keeps you full for a very longer time.
Yes.
2 weeks ago at my restaurant, I cooked ratatouille, and a lot of people didn't even know what it was. But
is that not a movie?
No, ratatouille is not about the rat only. Come on, Trini. Because most people say the only thing I know about ratatouille is a movie is a rat, you know, this type of way. But it's not, and it's really quite good. It's really quite delicious. But you have to know how to cook it because any eggplant is a tricky thing.
Mm-hmm.
Once it breaks down, really, really, really fast. So so one of the methods when I cook an eggplant, especially for ratatouille, I really make sure the pot is really hot, smoking hot. It keeps the texture of the eggplant as best as possible. And then the second thing what I do when I cook in it, especially if I cook it in, I cut it in dice and stuff, I use a rubber spatula or wooden spatula to cook. I don't usually use a pot spoon because pot spoon is so sharp, it breaks down the edges and stuff like that. So So that is one of the things I do when I cook in ratatouille. But as you said, Trinidadian, most of the time it's roasted, yeah. Roasted eggplant. Last week I did, with a friend, I did an eggplant ice cream.
What?
Yeah, we did eggplant ice cream.
Did you have eggplant ice cream?
Well, we did it. We did eggplant ice cream.
All right, cool.
And again, it's a blank canvas.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite interesting because me and he was just playing around and he said, yeah, what we going to use to make, because we was ready feeling for ice cream. But the texture was a little different. The flavor was really, really, really nice.
I think we will need to test that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's really, 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 really good.
Yeah.
I get to be part of that test.
Yes, that's why I said we. I'm not speaking French right now.
Yeah, because I
want to taste this eggplant.
Yes.
I will eat the eggplant ice cream as opposed to eating the bread and condensed milk, but I definitely don't for the eggplant ice cream.
Yeah.
I never had that before.
Yeah, it was a bit different and so, but it actually surprised me. The texture was a little different, but the flavor was really, really, really good. Yeah, so eggplant is one of those things that I like, to be honest, I kind of like to work with. There's one particular thing I like to do with eggplant, which is an eggplant lasagna.
Yes.
You give me the eggplant lasagna before, right?
Yes, once or twice.
Yeah. How do you make your eggplant lasagna? Do you bread it and fry it, or do you just make it roasted?
No, I don't bread it and fry it. I would try to avoid frying as much as possible. So yeah, I would tend to kind of par grill it and then finish it off in the oven.
Or you could actually, not, if you don't want to fry, you could also bread it and put it in the oven.
Yeah.
And sort of dry cook it in the oven. I had a friend, when she makes it, she makes like the roll lasagna, but with eggplant.
Yeah.
Lasagna skin, the same sauces. You have your marinara sauce, your white sauce,
okay.
and cheese. And she would put the eggplant and then roll it. So you have individual pieces. Yeah. And that is really, really good.
That's more fun.
Yeah. It's really more.
I don't know about eggplant. I grew up and my mom would make it and it just tastes awful.
Did you ever have a stuffed eggplant?
What?
Stuffed eggplant. It's another comfort food. I mean, it's not something I make often because I just like the way my mom used to do it. But we were speaking about this about a month ago and she reminded me that it was on a Thursday. I don't know why, but every Thursday she would...
You know, that's a very good thing that you said, because growing up, your parents would have different days, you know, that they cook certain things.
Mm-hmm.
An eggplant used to be a finish we'll get on a Monday.
Okay.
If it do have anything left over from Sunday... That might, if it does have food from Sunday, we get that on a Tuesday. So Tuesday, I get a little callaloo bhaji. You know, it's callaloo, right? That's the callaloo bush they cut up with all the okra and all the thing and dry down that horrible too, same way. And then, you know, pilau on a Wednesday. And
why you keep putting in these assertions that it's horrible?
Because I never liked it.
That doesn't mean
it's
horrible.
I grew up liking it and it's like, oh my God.
That doesn't mean it's horrible.
Yeah.
Your taste bud chest didn't like
it.
I don't think your taste bud likes anything veggies or anything like that. Is it?
I remember this one time.
Story time.
My friend, we were working at TSTT and we left. We was working in night shift and we left. And he says, listen, you need to really start to eat healthy and thing, you know. You ever try soya?
Yes.
What kind of imitation meat you gave me? I don't want no soya to eat. So we go down St. James by this vendor and he said, listen, I'm going to buy a veggie roti. Oh, the thing smell good. Eh? He said, we're buying veggie, we're eating it, we're taking it down tonight. Because every night we're working, we're eating something. I said, all right. And every time I buy this roti, my mouth telling me I'm going to buy a piece of meat just now. And I get angry and pelt with the whole roti. I get real vexed.
But I don't.
Because by the time my fourth bite and I couldn't get meat and I realized I have no meat, I get real upset.
But why is and Michelle, please forgive me. I'm gonna have a little moment.
I'm thinking about it and I'm real vexed right now.
So why do we think that we have to have meat? Why do West Indians think that we have to have a piece of meat? I remember my growing up, I would hear my mother saying story that my grandfather, if he didn't get a piece of meat, he'd barely plate outside. Why do we feel we have to have a piece of meat on the plate?
My mouth letting me know.
No, your brain trying to trick you and making you feel that you need a piece of meat.
Smarter than my brain. My brain will can't trick me. I might outsmart my brain and trick that. But anyway, on a reel, I was biting this roti that night, and by the time my third bite, I was getting annoyed. So I was like, okay, maybe a piece of meat slipped in there. Boy, I pelt with the whole roti.
Wow. You serious? You tossed it?
You mean? I pelt the whole roti and buy the next one. I even buy back that roti again. I buy something else. I want my chicken. I need a piece of meat. I had to say, it was annoying. My mouth and taste buds are telling me I'm eating a roti and somewhere in there I go and bite a chicken.
So today, as you said, today, and I cooked roasted squash with carrots, peppers and onions today, as part of my menu. And one of the customers came in and he said, "Flat, no, I don't want that. So I turned to him and I said, "As a chef, I feel hurt. I feel really, really hurt because I spent the last 4 hours perfecting this vegetable. So when you come in, you could get the best tasting squash ever." He watched me. "I don't want it." I said, "Please try it." You know, when he did try it, he said, "Yeah, boy, chef, that is really good." So most of the time, especially I just always say this, and I said this in the show again, that as a chef, our job is to actually create some stuff that the persons who never eat something before, they would want to try it.
Yeah.
But they also have to come with a
you like to cook.
Because I don't like to cook. You like to iron?
I can do it, but no. I've done it for years, so I don't like it.
So why you don't like it? Okay.
Because I've done it too many times.
Well, but just now, you hear what he just said, and he said it 3 different times. You do know the name of this show, right? And I think I will have to reiterate it for you. The name of the show is Tasty Tuesdays, so where we talk about food. So by now, 3-4 months in the game, I should have had a discussion that kind of sway you. You know, sway a little bit. And I sure I would like to hope that you went to and try something that we spoke about. And I would like to think, I know it's not the condensed milk and bread, so we're not going to go down
there. But that's not cooking anyway.
Yeah,
so.
But...
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've
that's
never
not even a meal, anyway.
Have you went home and try anything? Or, say, you know, try to say, like, let me try something and put on an apron?
See, do I have any more questions here?
You go for a question.
I can give you the recipe for the baba ganoush.
Yeah, let's go. Baba ganoush.
You can try that.
Ask me if you ever heard about baba ganoush.
Have you?
What is that?
Baba ganoush.
What is that?
So, that is a Mediterranean dip. More or less, right? Mm-hmm. In a nutshell. So you roast your eggplant and you dig the pulp out. You mash it with a fork. If you're doing quite a lot, I would put it in a food processor and you can pulse it. Don't blend it.
Mm.
And then you add some garlic, some olive oil, some tahini if you have. Tahini is a sesame paste. If you don't have it, you can take a bootleg root and throw in some sesame seeds in there. I do that sometimes.
Bootleg root, what is that?
Pardon?
Well, the tahini is a piece
made from sesame seeds.
Okay. Yeah. So you add that to the baba ganoush, which gives it authentic flavor.
Yes.
So if you don't have
so
it,
so you thinking as a respectable chef, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talking to somebody who don't like to cook,
right?
That giving me this baba ganoush to make is the best menu.
Because the only cooking involved in terms of heat application is roasting. So you're not even turning a pot. You literally put the eggplant on the fire or
just turn it.
Yeah. And you turn it around so it will char evenly.
That's and when it. That happens, what next?
You scoop out the flesh. And throw it in a bowl.
Uh-huh.
Grate some garlic. Put some olive oil, some lemon juice.
Uh-huh.
Put some tahini paste.
Uh-huh. Paste. What is the tahini? Right.
The ground sesame seeds.
Ground sesame seeds.
Sesame paste, yes.
Paste. Mm-hmm. Paste.
Put, yep.
Right. Uh-huh.
Salt and pepper.
And what?
Most importantly, and then you get your fork and you beat that all together.
Uh-huh.
If you want to be fancy, put in some a herb in there, put some coriander or what people call cilantro.
Never heard of it, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's
Shadow Benny.
And, well, it's Shadow Benny cousin, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Trini, just say Shadow Benny.
And you can put some paprika.
Yeah. Right, I know about paprika.
Right.
And then what are we doing with it?
And then you can have it with pita bread. So, you know, have you had pita chips? Have you eaten a meat platter, for example, and you know you get the little toasted breads and the crostinis and the crackers? You can have it with that.
So our version of baba ganoush would be baigan and sada roti.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the sada roti,
yeah, baigan, yeah.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Our version of it. But the fancy, because I remember the first time I saw baba ganoush and I tasted it. I said, "But this is baigan choka."
Yeah.
You know, that type of way. And but wait. So I was kind of surprised that different part of the world, same item, cook a little different way and a different name.
Yeah.
And some of these dishes are very exotic in some places.
Very much so.
Yeah, yeah. What are some of the dishes that you probably saw that probably be using here or that not using here that you could highlight in your travels?
Okay, so one that you'd see here a lot is hummus when you buy when you go to the gyro stands, for example, right? Hummus wasn't something I particularly like because that's blended chickpeas with that same tahini paste in it, right?
Yes.
And chickpeas wasn't I'm not fond of it either. But then I had it in Sp- Spain from this Lebanese kebab outlet.
Yes.
And I mean, it was totally different. It was almost like whipped. It was very light, like a whipped cream.
Oh.
So it was like hummus on 100. You know, really light in color and in texture and flavorful.
Okay, that sounds good.
You could tell the difference between hummus made from a can with chickpeas from a can versus the boiled chickpeas.
Yeah.
And I believe they use the boiled chickpeas for that, for sure.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Something as simple as hummus, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many others, but I keep thinking about India. I can't talk about eggplant and not mention India, right? I lived and worked in India for a year. And actually, it's believed that eggplant originated in India, by the way, right?
Okay.
From way back when. So, I worked in a restaurant, which was a continental restaurant. It sat about 150 people. All the staff were from different parts of India. Uh-huh. Very low-income people who came to Mumbai, where the restaurant was, hoping to be a Bollywood star one day. That was everybody's goal. But they were working in this restaurant in the meantime. They know nothing about Western food whatsoever, right? And this menu is like a Bible. It has from fondue to risotto. They had an Indian, what they called a desi pasta. So it was curry mixed with some kind of cream cheese kind of thing.
Yes, yes.
And that was the most popular thing on the menu, right? They Indianized a lot of it. So for staff meals, when we had, and you know, you go back to talking about why is it that we always want meat. In their culture, a lot of people were vegetarian. Then you have Jain, you have a lot of extremes of non-meat eating habits.
Yes.
So egg would be the meat for one of the days of the week. And maybe once a month, they might get chicken at the restaurant.
Yeah.
But eggplant was always there. And I see they would have these huge, big iron pots with oil, and they would fry the eggplant in that first and then curry it. And I told you, I'm not fond of eggplant either, but I mean, I don't know if it was because I was just always hungry at work, but that thing tasted
really good.
So good. Yeah. And frying it first made a big difference.
Yes, yes, yes.
It adds some texture to it, so it's not soggy anymore.
Yeah, it's rough,
you know?
and more dense.
And it became a little more meaty. Now, I don't think we could convince Davy to have a curried eggplant roti, but you might not have pelled that one away.
I don't even want curry boiled egg.
So just now, you can't convince, but you do have aloo chuka with baigan and aloo chuka, which is really, really good.
Yeah.
And even with sada roti, you never had that, right, Davy?
What?
You never had baigan and aloo chuka? I just want to ask him, and I know you're going to tell me,
what?
No.
Just bring me instead next week,
yeah,
and you and I will talk.
Yeah. So baigan and aloo chuka, that's I think I will have to bring that for you.
This woman forceful and forward with herself. But you know what? You're welcome to come back next week and continue our discussion inside the vegan. So if you will accept the invitation, you get it.
Well, actually, I think I might be coming back to do the potato segment. So you can't get rid of me that easily.
Oh.
You're going with you. She don't recognize you on a big show.
Yeah.
She reminds me of my good friend Natasha, man. You're on a big show.
So do you think?
Well, yeah, welcome back. We want you back.
That's nice. Thank you.
Do you think, Trinidad, we are a vegan type culture or?
No, not at all.
Why would you say that?
I mean, I worked in about two or three restaurants here since I came back home. So over the past 13 years, and even down to 3 years ago, just before COVID, I always made sure I would include at least one vegan item per category, menu item category, because I helped set up a couple of restaurants and I would help develop the menus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I recognize that is important, right? We have to cater to those, but I could count on half a hand the number of times we would have served a vegan meal from the menu, you know?
Yeah.
And then eating is a culture. And like you said, you know, we like meat. In Trinidad, we like meat, and some people say they're vegetarian, but they eat fish. It's only when I left Trinidad, I realized I had the wrong idea of vegetarian.
Well, thank you so much for mentioning that, because, I mean, so is once you are vegetarian, you're into vegan foods, seafoods are not considered vegan, correct?
No, and vegetarian is not vegan either.
So what's the difference with vegan and vegetarian?
Vegan is no animal product.
No animal product.
Vegetarian is no meat or fish. So you could still have cream or cheese if you're vegetarian. But if you're vegan, they would not have anything that came from an animal. So no dairy, milk,
so
no
then,
cheese.
And I mean, we get different proteins from various meats, right?
Right. Yeah.
Then if you are vegan, and I'm saying vegan here because I'm going extreme. So we have no meat-based products. So cheese and milk and these things would not be part of the menu.
Right.
What were we eating, boy?
Plants.
The plants-based.
They say humans were meant to eat plants.
And they have enough protein. So the legumes and stuff have enough proteins. And
is rich with more protein than you can get.
Say it again, fam.
Quinoa.
Remember that discussion we had a couple
weeks. Yeah, we had that discussion.
The quinoa.
Yeah, and we also talked about the chitine. So we did have those discussions.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
what did you call that?
The chitine.
Okay.
Don't ask them to repeat it, please. We go through this every week.
He purposefully ignored it.
Yeah.
I couldn't leave it alone.
Please don't encourage him. I go through every day, every week hearing this guy say this word.
What is the correct pronunciation? Is the English word?
He's killing the fruit. I wonder if it's a fruit.
It's not a nut.
It's a nut, but that's
chitine. Chitine.
Is that classified as a vegetable?
This is a good question.
Not the question in two hands. Google.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say. Let me see.
Because there was a question asked between one particular vegetable, fruit or vegetable, tomato.
This is a good question because you can rope eggplant into this as well.
Right.
What is eggplant?
Exactly. So it's egg. I mean, I would have it down that eggplant is, to me, fruits are something you can eat raw.
You can eat eggplant raw.
You can just pick an eggplant and wash it and bite it and eat it?
Yeah.
Actually, eggplant is a berry, just as tomato. It's a berry.
So that means it's a fruit? Because berries...
Well, berries
are fruits.
Yeah.
Berries are not a vegetable.
Yeah.
A strawberry is not a vegetable. That's a fruit.
Yeah.
A blackberry,
it's used as a vegetable. So, and it's
when you cut the eggplant and fruit, the seeds or whatever.
It's similar. It's related to tomato.
But it's shaped different. What kind of relation? Is that a distant family member? Because tomato is yellow and round, eggplant
that's
long.
The next thing, there are many different types of eggplant. There's white eggplant, there's striped eggplant, there's light purple, there's almost black, there's green.
Yeah, that's different.
I actually had a bag to bring to show you guys, and I forgot it at home to show you some different types of.
Well, when you come in next week, please bring the bag.
I don't know why people think one time you mention a fruit, it have to be sweet, and I think that's the misconception.
Well, I don't think all fruits are sweet because, you know, I've had some fruits that like apple didn't taste too sweet, so.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Once it falls somewhere under that, you did literally think that it's a fruit.
So where you get it?
Was that it? No, eggplant is a vegetable.
It's a vegetable.
Yeah, it's a vegetable.
It's considered a vegetable.
Yeah, it is a vegetable.
And tomatoes, fruit or vegetable?
Fruit.
See?
Tomato is a fruit.
But eggplant, botanically, is classified under berries.
Okay.
I was surprised to find that out as well.
Well, that's interesting facts. What about sweet pepper?
Sweet pepper is a vegetable.
That falls under vegetables.
Yeah.
So then what do we call so then at what line where do we draw the line between vegetables and provision?
Provision is a ground vegetable, root vegetable.
It's a root based vegetable.
Root vegetable, so
because that's what sweet potatoes.
Yeah, sweet potatoes, wrong provision and all.
So then how do you know when a sweet potato is ready to be harvested? Because they're not growing on top of the ground, it's growing under.
Yeah, well,
you'll tune in on May 30th and you will find that out.
We have something happening on May 30th?
That's potato.
That's our potato segment. Yeah.
Really?
Our whole segment.
Yes.
Only bringing out, so what potato dish only walking with?
Oh, well, curry is arrival, right?
Well, yeah.
It'll be a battle of the curry potatoes.
A battle of the curry potatoes? I like that.
So making this whole thing.
And actually, shouldn't even do curry potato. We should think of another root vegetable because we got so stuck
but
on the same.
It's only three ways I know you can be. Well, four.
Don't say
you
that.
You can have mashed potatoes.
Oh my gosh! I can't wait for the 30th to come.
Yeah. Right. So you have mashed potatoes, stuffed potatoes, baked potatoes. You could fry the potatoes, curry the potatoes, and stew it. Where's you gonna do with the potato?
Okay.
Where's you gonna do with the potato? You curry the potato, which you cut up and you curry it, you stew it, you do a baked potato, or you fry it, or you, stuffed potato?
There's so many different ways. I mean,
I only add nothing to that list.
No, because you could use those techniques. Yes, the techniques are limited in number, but the product that you'll get from that is quite expensive.
Because you call a couple basic, which is basic, is true. But mm-hmm. the same thing she said. You could sauteed potatoes could be done in so many different ways. Baked potatoes could be done in so many different ways. Grilled potatoes could be done in so many different ways. Roasted potatoes could be done in so many different ways. So don't look that boring, because I can cook sauteed potatoes 10 different ways for you and they all taste differently.
So when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? Because I started to get...
You started to get a little hungry now. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so when we see he likes potatoes. Yeah. All right.
I have a new dessert at the store called Peanut Colada. So it's a dessert, so uh-huh. I'll bring one of those for you next time. But I have to warn you, it have a little alcohol in it.
You want to warn me?
Yeah, I want to warn you a little bit, okay?
Because of what?
We strain a little bit from the...
Warn me if it have condensed milk in it now. Don't warn me about the alcohol content, brother. You know, so let's get back on our topic with our eggplant. So, I mean...
A question for you, eggplant trivia. So, what are some other names you could call eggplant?
Melanjan.
Uh-huh.
Bygone.
Uh-huh.
Full stop.
Okay. Yes. I'm sure you know another one.
A berry plant.
Okay. What about you, Sean?
Well, the only thing I remember, I only know eggplant as eggplant and bygone, and the same thing you say.
Melanjan.
Melanjan, Japanese eggplant. I don't really know.
And then, so melanjan, now in Italy, I think they call it melanzana.
Yes.
So, yeah, well, right. Melanzana.
So, you don't have melanzana. That's the Italian. It's like saying, hello. How do you say hello in Spanish? Hola. So, you're not saying a different version of hello. It's the same hello, just a different language.
Well,
melanzana is just the Italian way for saying melanjan.
But yes and no. Because actually, melanzana also stemmed from the Latin... mala insana, which was crazy apple, because they thought that eggplants made them crazy. Egyptians thought so.
Uh-huh.
I think the Persians also thought so. Like, made people used to get crazier when eggplant was in season. So it went from mala insana to melanzana. And then in India, they call it brinjal.
Okay.
Brinjal. So
okay.
You have a lot of different names for this fruit. And then in France, they call it aubergine. Also in England.
Yes, I forgot about that.
Yes, because I trained in England too. Yeah. So when I came back to Trinidad and I'm putting aubergine on my menu, I remember we have a grilled eggplant salad on my salad menu. My sister and I started a salad business a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And somebody wrote on our Facebook page, grilled aubergine, you mean roast bygone, you know? They completely demolish
it.
Yeah. You see, the way for putting, what do you call it? Aubergine. That is just to charge more money?
No, and that's the same thing. I told the guest today, as a chef, you travel, you be creative, you think of different ways, and you come back and you're trying to...
Yeah, we have to whet your appetite from the woods.
And they just...
Yeah.
When you have guests like Davey,
alright, he will have to hold a grilled bygone, a roasted bygone.
Yeah, you can't change your name for him. Yeah. So don't matter what you cook, it has to be bygone.
Good afternoon, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
You're talking about
vegetarian. You're breaking up.
You're talking about vegetarian dishes still?
Yes, we are.
I just wanted to share this.
Uh-huh.
Hold on. You went off air a little minute. Could you go back and back it up? You just want to share?
Somebody brought coffee for me and it distracted me.
Somebody bought coffee for you and you got distracted.
Davey, don't mind my business, please.
You know, I have guests in the studio now, boy, so I don't hold my mouth.
Yeah, I
don't
tell you. Keep me focused.
Because I want to say something bad now.
Yes. So I'm a vegetarian, really. And I had cause to go and have a blood test. And the doctor, my doctor, said to me, without knowing, he said, you're a vegetarian. So I said, yes. He said, well, you know what?
Yeah.
Somebody buy an ex coffee for her.
Hello,
you get an
cola.
They come. They bring the sugar.
Nah, but like she need two coffee.
Like somebody bought a coffee and she got distracted.
What a cliffhanger!
Yeah, man,
yeah boy.
Yeah.
Maybe they bring a juice. You got a juice, girl.
Yeah. So, do you think that the younger generation is being taught to eat more vegetarian stuff or more in a healthy way or?
Yes,
what can we do to?
So. I would say so, because you have now all these different bowls. So they're making vegetables more exotic now.
Yeah.
You know? For example, you'd find in sushi on sushi menus, and sushi is mainly a seafood item, but you would always have some sort of vegetarian or vegan sushi. Then salad bars would, you know, they make vegetables savvy now with all your different combinations of salad bowls you can have with it. And then all the grains that are coming out now, the quinoa, the what you call this other one, the couscous and all these other grains. Yeah. So
why do people think it's so vegetarian is boring? When you talk about, once I say this,
because you don't have the knowledge. And I believe that's one of the things a chef is responsible for. You've got to educate your clientele. And in our case, right now in this radio program, we're educating the public on the names of vegetables that are out there, the availability of it, the different ways to prepare it, so that you're not limited anymore.
Yeah.
So I think that once people are exposed to different methods and a lot more knowledge, then they would be more willing to try. People are traveling more too. And then food is all over from social media, different TV networks. Food has blown up over the past 10 years, all the different cooking shows.
Yes.
People are way more exposed than they would have been before.
I don't like cooking shows, per se. Not because I have anything bad against it. But I can't endure sufferation of watching those menus and those meals being prepared and seeing the finished product, and I can't taste it.
You can't taste it.
I just be going mad. Iron Chef, this one, Chopped and all these things. I just be going out of my mind.
You sound like a guy like to taste good food.
I do. I appreciate a good menu, a good meal from time to time, and you know. Sometimes, but I've been listening for the last few minutes as we talk about vegetarian stuff and vegan, and I'm still trying to bring myself down as to whether or not I can enjoy a salad without meat.
Oh my! All right.
Are you serious?
That challenge. That's not even a challenge. I can bring it to you. You're here Saturday.
Miss Lady, I work Monday to Friday, 3 to 6. This is my chef.
I can bring it to you next week.
We drive so we can find you.
Don't worry about that.
Good.
Because we offer meat and fish and shrimp on our salad menu, and the most popular salad is actually the grilled eggplant salad, loved by both meat eaters.
Could you explain that grilled eggplant salad?
Okay, so we have our lettuce salad base. We always use a combination of different lettuces because I'm going for crunch, I'm going for texture and flavor. And then tomato, cucumber.
Yeah, that's good.
What about sweet peppers?
No, I put roasted chana. That gives it a little bit of meat and bulk. And I always use seeds and dates. So that's your base. And then you add your chicken or with whatever.
Well, right. So I'm still getting a little meat in there.
No, but what I'm saying is the grilled eggplant would be the meat for the vegetarian salad.
It's like eating food with curry.
Can you keep an open mind?
You have to try it.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Davey.
Good afternoon, bro.
Have you ever eaten potato roti?
What?
Not the jalpui and potato, right?
Well, yeah.
When you make aloo choka, you mash up the aloo fine, like a choka.
Yeah.
And you make it a roti, you paste it, you have a way to pull the roti, the potato in the roti, the flour when you need it, right?
Mm.
You know, well, how the pin, the rolling pin.
So you're saying that the potato going inside the
people dal in a root in a flour and then you roll it to get dal puri?
Yes.
Well, you pull the potato just like that and you roll it and you put it on the tower. We put it in a slight oil and then there we call potato roti.
Oh, you're talking about, okay.
Yeah, but I will get vexed if I eat that because I'm halfway in that I want to buy a piece of chicken.
So you never had a mini potato roti as a child in school from the canteen?
Yes.
You didn't like it?
No.
Oh, okay.
So you're saying the best way, you can't eat a roti without chicken?
It frustrated me.
You can't eat anything.
It frustrated me. It frustrated me. Hello, good afternoon.
What the gentleman is saying is called aloo puri.
Aloo puri.
Aloo puri. Okay.
Yeah. It's a very tasty dish. And I recall my mother, God bless her soul, if I see it. It will cut up okra in the bag and choka. And I can tell it was really delicious. How she did it, I don't know. Okra with the eggplant in.
All right. Thank you very much for sharing, Wind Chimes. Got you. Hello, get up. Yeah. All right, call me back. 627-3223 and 625-2257. Good afternoon.
Hey, Dave.
Uh-huh.
Hi, my bro.
Boy, I'm hungry.
Ask the girl if she'd ever eat the bread and condensed milk, she was saying.
You missed it, man. She said. Let her answer. Go ahead.
Yes, of course I have.
Yeah, everybody in Trinidad had bread and condensed milk except Baby Shark.
Mm. Curry porridge, do. Hello.
Davy.
Oh.
Yes, as the guy said earlier, you can put the potato in your roti like dal puri.
Mm.
You can also use yam. You can use cassava.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use dashin. And my wife has made it, and it's really, really good.
Wow.
I'm willing to try that.
You will try that?
And the answer to the lady there, who spoke about the condensed milk and the bread, well, ma'am, you should eat condensed milk and roti.
What?
I get enough licks.
Yes.
Licks are getting
out
small.
If you see how Davey get like, he head swinging like a puppet.
Well, we used to eat roti and ketchup.
that too, but condensed milk, I get no licks for that.
All right,
because
bro.
My mother say, you know you eat that, you're going to get worms in the belly. But I didn't care. It did
real good, right?
It did real good.
All right.
All right, bro. Thanks. What? Roti and what? Ketchup?
Yes, our neighbor used to make roti a lot, so we got it frequently. And I mean, Sunday afternoon, you're feeling hungry, you take some fresh dal puri, a little ketchup on your plate, or barbecue sauce if you want to be spicy about it, and you
what?
Eat that.
I don't understand.
You're not
why
gonna readily have curry chicken and pumpkin and all that.
Exactly,
there,
exactly,
right?
Always there. Yeah.
Thing hard by you there, boy. Roti and ketchup and barbecue. What? Hello, good afternoon, and grow up rough, girl. Hello.
Yes, so I was about to share something with you all.
You pick up the coffee?
You pick up the coffee?
I drink it already.
Oh, so you're ready.
Oh, it's a real love, will you? What if fast?
I say after that cliffhanger, like, somebody buy your juice, girl, you're gone for good. All right, let me hear you.
This is for tonight. Anyway, so I was saying that I'm a vegetarian. And when I went to have my blood test, the doctor said to me, you're a vegetarian. I said, yes. He said, that is why. I said, that is why what? He said, you're extremely lacking in vitamin B. So he said that he has to give me 8 injections. Not one time, one per week. You all hearing me?
Yes.
Well, I waiting for the chefs and them to say what grass you need to eat to get a vitamin B now.
So
ahead.
He gave me 8 injections once a week.
Oh, God.
And then he said, right, you're quite okay now. He said, but when you're eating, you must eat. Well, he gave me Nurobin tablet with vitamin B. So he said, you must continue to take your vitamin B. So I just wanted the non-meat eaters to hear that.
Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts. I appreciate it, man. So you hear that?
You just looking for any way or anybody to say yeah.
I know there is a roster of vegetables that are rich in, because first of all, vitamin B doesn't stand alone. There's a plethora of different vitamin Bs, right? Yeah, B12,
and
B6.
And I think what she probably was doing is probably eating and having a deficiency.
Yes, exactly.
In that particular vitamin.
Yeah.
So it could have been that whatever she was eating, but let's say she's probably having salads without, let's say, the legumes that has vitamin B in it.
Exactly.
And just eating salads by itself. So your body becomes deficient on that particular item, because your body do need the protein and certain vitamins. And
you just have to eat more of the food that is rich in that, vegetable in this case that is rich in that. You'll have to eat more than your average consumption. Otherwise, you have to take a supplement. And of course, consult your doctor before you do any of these things.
You always have to consult your doctor, because you could be eating meat and that same meat could give you, you could have problems later on, thinking that I'm eating healthy, but later on you could also have come up with certain problems.
Are you a vegetarian?
No, I'm not.
So you eat meat?
Yes.
Are you a vegan, sir?
No, I am not.
All right.
But there are certain times I don't have to eat meat. I didn't eat meat.
I only eat meat when I'm drinking.
So
can't drink the meat, huh?
Yeah,
just saying.
You know, she started by saying something early on that
she had a comment there.
I don't know you well enough. I want to be invited back.
Let me give you a little history.
So this guy, you're talking to a guy who never had porridge. You're talking to a guy who never had, as we said, condensed milk and bread. You're talking to a guy who have to call his mommy every week to ask mom, mommy, could you remind me what I ate when I was younger? So he can't remember certain things. So his mother is frequent caller on the show. I tell let Trinidad and Tobago know that I've never made porridge for my son. You understand? So that's
all,
a brief
all
history
woman,
that
we didn't grow up hard. I mean,
yeah. Miss Murray said that her son used to just sit and watch television while his sister used to climb tree. And you know, it was really nice.
But she didn't ask you that.
No, she didn't have, but she diverse.
And she doesn't know me that well.
Yeah, yeah. So it was nice having that part. So our job is really, and it's really a hard job to convince him to try new things. And open his mind.
I am open to trying things.
Expand your palate.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Just, I mean, I good with that. I not eating no bread and condensed milk. That ain't going to happen. That menu and try to say I have to get that and eat or I'm hungry and that's the first thing I'm looking at. You know, that ain't happening. I will eat the bread dry.
So what was your comfort food then?
Cornflakes and milk in a bowl with a teaspoon.
Are you serious? Oh my God.
My Kellogg's.
Yes.
And I stay fresh milk.
You know, we sat here after the first time I was thinking, what is my comfort food?
Well, I never hear you talk about yours. Good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Yes. The neurobean is B12.
Oh, okay.
So she was right when she said it depends on what vitamin he was talking about. So it's the B12.
All right. Thanks very much, Sunshine.
But vegetarians enjoy a lot of lovely, delicious dishes, I must add.
Hey, all of us eating food without the meat. What so lovely and many delicious about that. I just eat my food, rice and peas. No meat. I got it. You want the spoon to turn the meat in the pot to touch the spoon that you're going to eat your rice with. I get it. But for me, my comfort food was always a bowl of cornflakes with milk from the fridge. Cool milk. So you put the milk to chill and a bowl of cornflakes and I take a teaspoon.
And I'll go to
and I sit down with my bowl.
You'll have a teaspoon.
Yeah. I will eat that and that is comfort food for me. I'd watch a movie or
so
watch
big
some
man,
cartoon.
Big man, you still eat with the teaspoon? Mm. Or would you?
Moving along.
Are you trying to savor the moment of the cornflakes? Because I'm trying to understand. A teaspoon only of cornflakes is only probably having one flake.
I don't know. But that is just how wide is it.
So, when you scoop it into the big bad thing, when you scoop it into all the cornflakes, everything fall out, right?
I don't know. That's funny. It's still something that I will do down to this day.
Really?
By myself.
Okay.
You know, in my little room, if I'm watching something and I feel to eat that, and it has to be something that I had a feel to eat, I would be hungry and I wouldn't go for that. So I remember growing up, you know, I would always say, because it was me and my sister, they would have one box of cornflakes when they make groceries. Your parents make groceries at the beginning of the or the end of the month. That'll last you throughout the month. Now that don't happen again. Yeah, I'm going to visit the grocery 3-4 times for the month, especially if you have kids. Mm. So unless you will make a wallops of a grocery, which most persons are doing,
you know, you know the history behind cornflakes, why they develop cornflakes, right?
No, I don't. It doesn't matter though, but okay. You know, what's happening?
I just don't want you to fall into that.
Well, it was a meal that I enjoyed as a kid, as a child growing up, and I just couldn't get enough of it. So that was a breakfast item that would just last about 3 days in our house.
Wow.
Out of the entire month.
So you can imagine another house who don't have cornflakes and milk, but probably would have other stuff, and that's their way of comfort for them, right? Because not everyone would have the luxury. Probably had the luxury, as I said, some people may have had.
I didn't have any luxury, but I'm listening.
Some household may have had, let's say, Milo and
Horlicks.
There you go.
Horlicks, where is that?
Horlicks. Yeah. How do I describe Horlicks? Yeah, I'm very young. So it was probably a healthy mild, a healthy Ovaltine kind of something. Not
oh, is that kind of milk? Is that,
not
what, is
sweet.
That?
It's actually, it's good for you. It was.
Horlicks, yes.
Oh God, I need somebody.
Is that a brand?
Or was yes, it was. It's a brand. It's a powdered drink that you would make. Like sort of like a powdered porridgey kind of thing, but you drink it. You don't eat
it. Is a pre-mixed drink?
Well, no.
Okay.
It comes in a bottle. Well, it came in a bottle. Okay. I was probably four. I could see the jar.
Oh my God.
But I can't give you much more than that. If there's anybody out there who would have had a child in the 80s and you're a Holix, you could tell us.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Okay,
good afternoon. I know of the Holix. That used to come in a glass bottle.
Yes.
Yes, I remember drinking
a glass bottle.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's available in Trinidad now. I have looked a couple places and I've not seen it at all.
So it's a basic milk drink?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your mother used to get up to go to school, drink a glass of that and go to school. And sometimes it isn't already
good. I didn't have anything. yeah. I had to go and pick
people
glass.
Yeah, but it really existed.
So, all right. Thanks very much, caller, for sharing your thoughts. Let me ask you something. You just give it your own bread and condensed milk?
No, not at all.
Why did you make it sound like that?
Because she's
condensed
right.
Milk is not good for you, though.
Yeah, but
she's right.
At that time, we didn't know that.
Yeah, we didn't know that. And I think that's probably why I didn't have it past 5.
Yeah.
So.
And she's not even sure if she had it, because you can't remember where it under 5. I'm sure she might be. She might be just said that to flatter you, but she might be never even
You gave the kids mac and cheese.
No, well, you see, my kids are different because they actually have some allergies. So,
Their mom is a chef.
Exactly.
So they will eat the best.
When making their baby food, I try to keep it really plain, but the chef in me always wants to put a little something extra
in it.
And sometimes they don't like it. And for me, it's the best thing on earth and it's the healthiest thing, but they don't like it. They just want plain pasta, no olive oil, nothing.
Yeah,
you know, just plain. And that's just eating white to me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I don't know how old they are, but it's not something that you have ever seen them eat.
No, they are 2 and 5.
Oh, 2 and 5.
Yeah.
But they don't eat, you never feed your 5-year-old bread and condensed milk.
No.
Would you still go home as an adult and comfort yourself with that?
No. That is the macaroni and mayo one.
Not like you're going to feed your kids bread. It's not something that you're actually going to sit down and get them a plate of bread with some condensed milk.
Dude, remember telling the story.
Making it sound like...
And not every day either. If they ever were to try it, it wouldn't be every day.
I remember telling the story. I found out about this bread and condensed milk thing as a grown-up, as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
I was filming a show called Jobs on CNC3, and I remember going to my virgin's house, the co-host of the show at the time, who was working with me, and I was calling him out, you know, and he's in the back of the yard whistling, and he's making O's on 4 slices of bread. And I was like, Dan, you're hungry, or what are you doing? It's condensed. I said, let me carry him out. Because I was like, nah, we're eating it. God, boy, like, time's hard. Let me go and get something. Went by the Chinese place, we eat. I know he was very upset after and said, I interrupted him. Because the night before, he was thinking when he get up in the morning, he go and eat that bread and condensed milk. He had it in the fridge, the milk was cold and it coming out slow.
Yes.
He was going to eat that. So, the licorice as he was, he eat the food by and still went back home and eat that bread and condensed milk. And then I realized that was a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't know it was a thing. I was really surprised.
Burnt toast.
I would not be trying it, period, burnt or otherwise.
But why can't we have like the same name, like bread and condensed milk and cornflake is such a, I would really call that such a nice comfort food. I don't know if it's the sweetness or what,
mm-hmm.
but when you're thinking of vegetarian, mm-hmm. do you have any comfort food you think that people might go to and say, okay, I really, really like, the only thing I can think about is roti and whatever.
I think of corn soup. In our culture.
Yes.
A nice corn soup.
Yeah.
Corn soup.
And I mean, a good corn soup is a nice hug in its tummy, for sure.
Yeah. Now, you see, so we're on the same page.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
Yeah. We can't talk about that, no, man. You know what I'm saying?
I think a corn soup really hits it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go wrong.
But is there any special time to eat soup?
I don't think so. You know, we trainees are very particular. People say you can't eat curry at night, but people will eat doubles at night.
Oh, yeah, you can eat curry.
You know, it doesn't make sense.
I think that was an old belief, because you would drive down St. James and say, I feel in for curry roti, and you'll drive somewhere
and you will buy it in the middle of the night and you will have it. That is real talk. I know that.
Yeah.
That I can agree with. You know? Well, guys, we're about to wrap the show up here. We have a menu, eggplant recipe. That the chef will have to give us now. You have it there?
No.
Oh, you want me to give him what? The ingredients?
Yeah, give it.
All right, so we have a half cup of pasta, is it? A quarter cup of quinoa, 2 blades of sive, 2 ounces.
And it's
of
not
dice.
Quinoa, it's quinoa.
Quinoa, yeah. Right, and roasted pumpkin. Is roasted pumpkin?
Yeah, roasted pumpkin.
Half cup of roasted onion, 2 tablespoons of chopped parsley, 4 sliced zucchini. Is it
Yeah.
1 tablespoon coconut oil, pinch of salt, a pinch of black pepper, 1 table chopped shatterbenny.
Yeah.
Tablespoon, okay, 1/4 cup of white wine, 1 tablespoon butter, 4 sliced grapes. And what are we doing with this?
All right, so in a salad bowl, you're going to add all the ingredients except the roasted pumpkin. So you're going to take the roasted pumpkin, put a little olive oil on the pumpkin with onions, olive oil, garlic, and you're going to put that in the oven. You're going to roast it. You're going to try to get it golden brown. Once it's roasted, you're going to take it out of the oven, add a little butter to it, put it in a blender, and you're going to purify it. Till you get a nice creamy consistency. That's going to be the dressing for actually the salad. All right, in a separate bowl, you're going to add, in a sauce pot, you're going to put your pasta to boil and your quinoa. You could boil it together because quinoa doesn't take, a lot of people sometimes don't know how to boil quinoa, but quinoa boils really, really easy. It's similar to rice. I sometimes use quinoa. I boil rice and quinoa together. I boil pasta and quinoa together. And I'm thinking I'm an advocate for quinoa. Because quinoa is such a great thing, a tool, especially for your digestive system.
Mm.
It passes through your system so, so, so good, and it actually keeps you feeling filled a lot. You strain your pasta and your quinoa, then you add all the other ingredients to it, which is the onions, the pumpkin, the salt, the olive oil, all these different ingredients, and you toss it, and you take the same roasted pumpkin and onion dressing, and you toss it all up. You have some grapes at the end. You could choose either black grapes or red grapes, and you could add it as a garnish. Enjoy, guys. As I always say, bon appetit. As a friend just said, what happened to your teeth?
All right. Any closing remarks, Michelle, as we depart the show for this afternoon?
I just wanted to say thanks for having me.
Hey, pause. Somebody say Milo tea and mashup cricks.
Yeah, what? Comfort food. Yes.
Yes, yes. I had that
already.
Somebody says aloe puree. No, curry crab. What is this one? Curry crab with young baigan and plenty gravy, and boil and fry cassava with saltfish.
Yeah, good. I forgot about the cassava and saltfish.
Roasting the baigan with tomatoes and okra.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's one. Yeah.
You don't know about them?
Yeah, mm-hmm. But how come you don't know about cassava and...
Me, you know nothing, birds.
This like is why you need this program, okay?
He's a KFC baby boy.
Educate... And, you know, don't be afraid to try. Expand your palate. You could try once and not like it, you know. But you never know. You might be surprised.
Well, that is true. That is true. I am positively so. Unless Chef Sean Spencer eats that coconut bake and penne cool with mayo. Yeah.
Don't mayo, even, don't, ketchup. Yeah, she's looking very confused now. Don't even
some,
ask.
Pepper. Don't. Yeah, that's the challenge.
Don't even ask. That and
yeah, so get
face.
Too hard penne cool.
Uh-huh.
And... open coconut bake.
Mm-hmm.
I will allow with a sheet of lettuce, but you had to put the penne cool in there.
Mm-hmm.
And eat it sideways. And this is real talk. You had to eat this penne cool and bread. This is something very serious. And anytime he does that, we go in on TikTok with it. We're gonna put it out there. I will have bread and condensed milk. It's the only time. Outside of that, no.
So the show spins this spin off of so that she understands what I'm comfort food. So one of our guests called and said his comfort food is a similar to a penne cool and a bread or bake. So that was my challenge and his challenge, and which is very unfair because a penne cool is that big and I suppose eat it sideways.
Wow.
Yeah, with a coconut bake. So how am I going to digest this? So when he's having one of the famous thing, comfort food, which is condensed milk and bread.
Wow. And you said pepper as well.
Yeah, I must have some good cheese.
And he's showing that good cheese in there. Life isn't that hard for Chef Sean Spencer.
Okay, well, that's why I'm speechless at this one.
No, but that's a challenge that's been going on a minute now, and he hasn't lived up to it as yet.
No.
So I would not be having that bread and condensed milk unless he have the bacon penne cool.
So okay. And it's
rock, freezer, fridge, penne cool, put it in the bake, eat that. With some ketchup, mayo, could put some mustard, but you had to add the Bertie's pepper sauce in there. I'll offer a sheet of lettuce or some greens. Eat that, and I'm going to yam down that bread and condensed milk.
Give her another challenge before she goes. But what challenge could be? No, you did say really, like a salad.
If she's really coming back next week, she'll get it. If not,
salad.
I'm supposed to be coming back on the 30th.
No, that is month then.
Real talk.
Yeah.
So,
well, all right.
Well,
so
bring the salad. Bring the salad.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
No problems.
We got you there.
And you bring the eggplant ice cream.
That on God face.
So why did you bring it up?
No, I brought it up like every other dish.
Oh, really?
At that, yeah, but this that particular one? That particular moment, I was in the chef zone. If
but
I ever
chef,
if I'm in the chef zone, and that this is why I do. Sometimes I pick and choose my hat, especially when I go by friends, because everybody tends to say you're a chef. So, because I'm a chef, I'm supposed to be in the kitchen.
Quick question: do you find that you, since you became a chef, you got invited to dinner less by people at their homes because they are intimidated to cook for you?
Every time I reach by someone, I always have to cook, and that's why I don't go to people.
I have a housewarming. I come and check my.
No, I don't go to people's homes unless I'm being paid.
Well, I'll send a car for you.
There we go.
I'll pay the driver.
There we go. Now I'm coming. I'm coming with all chef bags. And I'm coming as Chef Sean Spencer.
Anyways, folks, that's another edition of Tasty Tuesdays here on Freedom 106.5 FM. It has been a blast. Remember, they always say love at first sight is often cured by a second look. But once you fall in love with Davey Murray, you will never, ever, ever have to look again.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.